Here's what the blog Deadspin had to say last night after the smoke from the Mitchell report had finally started to clear. Quote, "This is what MLB paid $20 million for. This took nearly 2 years." Essentially, Senator Mitchell had two sources, a bunch of media reports, Jose Canseco's book, and every player in baseball, save two, ignoring his request to talk. The only reason Roger Clemens and Andy Pettit are in here is because they were unfortunate enough to have acquaintances who had no choice but to talk. So what does this report actually mean for baseball, if anything? Well, we've got ESPN investigative reporter TJ Quinn here to help us with that. Hi, TJ.
How are you?
I'm great. It's a busy couple days for you, I would imagine.
Yeah, a little bit.
Have you slept?
Slept a little, yeah. We still haven't had time to really tear into this thing the way you'd like to, cover to cover.
Well, do you agree with Will Leach at Deadspin? Is this, for all the fireworks, for all the headlines, is this report at its core actually kind of a disappointment?
I think depends what your standard was going into it. If you were hoping for a full accounting of anybody who ever shoved a needle in their behind or rubbed on the testosterone cream or popped a pill, then it's a huge disappointment. Because Mitchell himself admits in this thing he was very limited in how much he could get. And he's right. Without Kirk Radomski, the former Mets clubhouse attendant, and without Brian McNamee, Roger Clemens' personal trainer, he doesn't have a lot as far as names, and most of that was because players just wouldn't speak to him. But what Mitchell said the standard was, and what baseball said when Bud Selig first charged Mitchell with creating this commission 21 months ago, was that it would be a way to have some kind of reckoning for the era in general and create for them a way to move forward. I think if you look at this in maybe best term to use is, you know, political terms, it was a success, I think, because it let them say, look, we did everything we could. Mitchell did as much as was reasonable under the restrictions he had, such as possessing no power to subpoena anybody to right. talk to him, no way to subpoena records. All he had was the willing cooperation of anyone he talked to.
Well, say what you want about Bud Selig, by the way, the commissioner of Major League Baseball. He doesn't come out smelling like a rose in this report either. But you know, say whatever you want about him. Mitchell did seem to have a certain amount of autonomy because he goes off on Selig. And that was one of the big questions was Mitchell going to actually be able to just kind of go anywhere he wanted with this?
You know, it's funny. People I talked to in Major League Baseball over the last couple of years said they were worried that was exactly what was going to happen, that Mitchell knew his reputation would – I mean, it's funny that a guy who's helped bring peace to Northern Ireland, who has fought to bring –
Right, could have been on the Supreme Court maybe.
Yeah, exactly. And then all of a sudden his life is going to be defined by, you know, how well he looked into steroids in baseball. And they knew he was not going to risk his reputation on a flimsy report, and that for that reason he would be harsh on Major League Baseball's complicity in this. And he was.
If there are so many names on this list, and it would appear that there's so much evidence that the league and that the teams knew a lot about the steroid use and kind of turned a blind eye to it, does that in some way actually make it less scandalous? I mean, if this was just sort of the standard operating procedure for baseball?
I'm sorry, it makes...
Well, for the players. In other words, if you're a guy who shot up, but everybody was doing it, if the team was kind of, you know, sort of allowing it and purposefully not investigating this stuff, does that mean that these players are a little less culpable? I mean, are they just saying, look, this is what people were doing during that period of time when you played baseball?
Well, the way they've described their mission with it was to find out what happened, how it happened, and how to prevent it in the future. And in that sense, I think there is great value that people will find in this. That the culpability was even. And Mitchell really put the lie to what baseball's standard line has been on this since the steroid era just kind of exploded on them. What Bud Selig kept telling people was, I just didn't know. There was no way to know. We never discussed it. It wasn't until 1998 when an Associated Press reporter first looked in the locker of Mark McGwire and saw he had a bottle of androstenedione. Bud Selig says that's when he sort of had his religious moment about this and started looking into it. Now, he may have gotten religion with a fervor once he did get it and has gone all out, it seems, at least far more than other American sports to rid his game of that problem. But he never took any responsibility for what he missed before that. And one of the things I found really interesting in this report is with all that documentary evidence in the back that you two were talking about earlier, is a list of stories that were run in American newspapers and wire services from 1989 to 1998, that AP story about McGuire, that made it pretty clear that, Bud Selig and anyone else has no case when they say that they just didn't know. There was far too much information out there.
So, TJ, am I hearing you saying that the McGuire situation, that was sort of, he was sort of patient zero for this?
Right, right. If you're going to look at it in epidemiological terms, but that was more just in terms of awareness. I mean, the reality is patient zero would have been somebody 10 years earlier. It may well have been McGuire, you know, but not in 1998. It had been going on for so long at that point. And when I was at the New York Daily News, we did a story in 2005 where we, you know, found that the FBI had done a major investigation in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, into steroid distribution, warned baseball that the names of players were coming up, and baseball did nothing about it. That's addressed in the report, too.
Where does baseball go from here?
I think where they go is to back to battle with the union. Bud Selig, again, has not been shy about making changes, and I think trying to make it very clear to the public. You know, maybe you can say it's for the sake of his own legacy, maybe because he just really cares that much. But whatever the case, he has gone very aggressively toward tougher testing and better policies and pushing the union to do the same. Again, anything he does with this is subject to collective bargaining. He can only implement so many things unilaterally as commissioner. He's going to do those. He said he's going to accept Mitchell's recommendations, especially that they outsource their testing program to an independent agency, or at least to an independent administrator, which is a major change in how they've done things.
Any chance that Bud Selig will step down?
No, I can't imagine that. I think that would only come from some great cry from the owners. And when you look at it, the owners I've talked to in the last week all agreed on one thing, that no matter what were to come of the report, even if people looked at this and said, this is a sham, it's a whitewash, it served the interest of the game in the sense that most fans who bought tickets in record numbers this year, this was an all-time attendance season for Major League Baseball, they don't want a full reckoning. What they want is at least to be able to look at the product on the field and have a reasonable belief that what they're seeing is the real thing, that it's a level playing field. And they felt that even if people criticized the report up and down, the average fan was going to say, that's more than enough for me. And
thank you, TJ. TJ, we got to jump off, but we appreciate your time. ESPN's TJ Quinn, thank you.
My pleasure.